Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu. Two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Paraskevopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas. Welcome back to The Fighting Priests. On our 23rd episode today, I'm Father Ted Paraskevopoulos, and with my co-host, Father Thomas Sandberg, up in Niverville, Manitoba. Father Thomas, how's it going?
It's going okay. Surviving this situation.
Yeah, the situation that will not be named, although we talk about it all the time. well, that's good. And with us today is a really special guest. Actually, today we would have to say that it's probably, this is not to denigrate any of our other guests, but this is probably our quote-unquote highest profile guest we've had on our little tiny podcast that nobody listens to. It's today we are joined by, well, his full name is Dionysios Prokopos, but everybody knows him as Denny, and he is three-time world champion of jiu-jitsu, no-gi, I believe, right, Denny?
Yeah. Yes.
And he's a second-degree black belt under Eddie Bravo, and he is the head instructor and owner of the San Francisco Jiu-Jitsu Academy, correct?
Correct.
That's the correct name. All right. I don't want to get anything wrong. And so, and he's fought in the UFC, and he just, he's...
Never fought in the UFC.
Sorry.
Yeah. I fought on UFC Fight Pass.
Yeah,
actually,
sorry.
I actually did work for the UFC. I was in production for a while, so I have that unique one.
Correct. You fought on UFC Fight Pass. What was the event that you fought? I saw it.
Recently was a Submission Underground.
Yeah, Submission
Underground. Chael Sonnen.
That's it. Yeah, I watched that on UFC Fight Pass. Actually, I watched it last week. So, so you are definitely probably the most accomplished jiu-jitsu practitioner we've had on this show so far. And we are really, really excited to have you on just to kind of like learn about your jiu-jitsu journey. You're also of Greek Orthodox background. So, of course, that lines up beautifully with our little podcast here, where we talk about, you know, spirituality and jiu-jitsu, the two worlds kind of coming together. So, I don't know. Denny, how's everything down in San Francisco?
First of all, Father, thank you for having me on. I'm thrilled, you know, because like you said, I'm Greek Orthodox and you do jiu-jitsu. We do jiu-jitsu. Those are the three most important things in my life.
Nice. How's everything down there?
SF's really weird, you know?
Yeah, in California.
Yeah. It's very sad to see how the city has become, you know, because you drive around, you see a lot of businesses, they're out of business. Man, the homeless problem, it's worse than ever. Probably the drug problem in San Francisco, worse than ever. Mental health problem, probably worse than ever. City's not doing good, but I am optimistic. But I'm optimistic. I'm very optimistic, though, because the people here, they're strong. You know, they're strong. We'll get through this. I'm very sure we will. A lot of people have moved, but the people that are from here, they've stayed. San Francisco is one of the most amazing cities in the world. It's just the people that take care of the city, they don't do a good job of taking care of the city. Mm-hmm. You know, and to me, it makes no sense because San Francisco is one of the richest cities in the world. We have a lot of billionaires here, a lot of millionaires. This is one of the most, it's tech, you know, San Francisco, Silicon Valley, tech capital of the world. In tech industry, it's the most amount of money, you know?
Sure.
So it doesn't make sense how they, you know, take care of the city.
I visited San Francisco in 2012, I think, or 2013 back then. And it was really, I was only there for like maybe 4 or 5 days. But it was just such a beautiful city. And then, you know, then you see now like something like 50% of the small storefronts are bankrupt, are closed. Mm-hmm. That's insane. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, like how much, because that's what San Francisco is. It's not like big box stores. It's all these little mom and pop stores, these nice little restaurants, these nice little like convenience stores, like coffee shops, like they're all going away. Right. And it's a big problem, but I'm glad that you're optimistic. How's your club doing? Are you surviving?
Right now we're surviving.
That's good.
We're surviving, you know. I see changes happening in the future, but you know.
Sure. But you got to do it because.
Yeah. You know, we're surviving right now. You know, and you know, every day when I, you know, because you know we're not back, but with what we're doing, you know, we're all right. Kind of, you know, but we'll get through. I'm sure we'll get through it.
Yeah. It'll pass.
All right, Denny, really great to have you on here. I've followed your career for a while now, ever since the first EBIs, because I believe you won EBI 2, the second one, right?
Yes, Father.
Yeah, at 155. And so for me, it's interesting because I always, when I started in Jiu-Jitsu, there's very few people who are Orthodox that I meet or who are Greek, especially in this area who did Jiu-Jitsu. It'd be like I had a Serbian Orthodox friend who did Jiu-Jitsu. So when I'd see you, and you held up the Greek flag, I always wondered, is he Greek Orthodox? So why don't you tell me or tell our listeners about your family, your ethnic background, and we'll go from there.
Yes, I'm Greek Orthodox. Both of my parents, they're Greek from my mother's and father's side. You know, my mother's side is from Zakynthos. My father's side is from Kabila. I'm born in San Francisco, raised in San Francisco. But when I was 6 months old, I was baptized in Zakynthos at Agios Dionysios Church, you know. Mm-hmm. I spent many summers in Greece. I actually grew up in San Francisco going to a Greek Orthodox school. The first few years of my education was at a Greek Orthodox school. It was called Holy Trinity Father Anthony Kosturis was the priest and also the head, the principal too. And we grew up going to Holy Trinity, and my parents, they got married in an Annunciation in San Francisco, which it was only a block away from my original location. And is now, I believe, 2 or 3 blocks away right now, depending on, you know, which way you want to look at it. But it's, yeah, so that's my story about, I guess, being Greek and being Greek Orthodox, you know, little bit.
So you obviously went to school in a Greek Orthodox school, but being from a Greek home, were your parents really active in the church?
I wouldn't say they were like really active. Mm-hmm. My father works a lot. He always works literally 7 days a week. That's all he does. And my mother too. But when we were younger, my mother was the one that was in charge of, you know, taking us to the events. So like they took us, we played basketball in the Greek church league. We did the Greek dancing. We did a little bit of Greek schooling as well. Mm-hmm. I grew up going to church in Greece. Mm-hmm. My biggest influence in my life for Greek Orthodox, it's my grandmother, it's my yaya. You know, and it's funny, I'm going to tell you guys something you might find interesting. First thing I ever wanted to be was a Greek Orthodox priest.
What? No way.
Yes.
It's never too late.
No, it's not. It's not.
You can do both.
I know. I'm not against it. I'll tell you guys something funny. I had a friend of mine that came watch me teach, and one day she was watching me teach. I get done teaching, and she's like, "Denny, this is the church of Denny," you know? So, you know, kind of like teaching jujitsu and bring a piece, it's kind of similar, you know?
Well, yeah, there's definitely a lot of people say that. Like my non-religious friend, they say jujitsu is their religion. So, like, there's a lot of parallels between the art of jujitsu and as a tool for improvement, not just on the mats, but also in your life, right?
Of course.
You're saying your yaya brought you to church when you were in Greece, like in the summers, or?
I mean, I would go to church like every day. I liked going to church. I just liked it. It's something that I like. Mm-hmm. When I'm in Greece, I still go every day.
Oh, because yeah?
There's churches everywhere. Oh yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
What about in San Francisco? Do you attend the parish there?
I'm very ashamed to say this. I only go once a year. I only go for Easter. I go to church when I'm in Greece. It's weird. It's a weird thing. I don't know. But I mean, I'm still, you know, close to my religion. I still practice it. Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't do the best job of going to church. I stopped going to church in America when my priest died.
Okay.
I didn't feel a connection with the other priests.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like how they were, you know, and because with Father Anthony, I grew up, he knows my father, he knows my mother. He was really a family friend, you know, and when he was in church, when he would give the sermons and everything, his voice is so strong, so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
None of these guys, they're like him. He was a very special man.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, I still walk by the church every day and I do my cross.
Oh, nice.
It's two blocks away, you know?
Yeah.
I still pay my respects.
Mm-hmm. Are the churches open in San Francisco right now? Do you know?
I don't think they are.
Yeah, they're all locked down. Yeah, right where I am in Manitoba, we're allowed 5 people. So it's like, it's very strange. Last week I had a funeral and there's only like, it's like 5 people. It's interesting times. I see.
Man, they can send all these people to go in like all these big stores like Walmart or Target, yeah. But they can't let people go to church. They can't let people go to small bookstores or whatever. You know, it's a very bizarre thing.
So let's go back then to tell me the story about how of your baptism. So you're named after Saint Dionysius of that. How do you pronounce it?
I use Dionysios Zakynthos. Mm-hmm. I use Dionysios of Zakynthos.
And so you were baptized
in the church where his body is.
Where his body is.
They don't baptize people in the church anymore.
So how did that come about?
Here's the real story. The real story is my grandfather, his name Dionysios, my mother's father.
Okay.
So my mother, when she was pregnant to my brother, she had a dream that the saint Ayos Dionysios handed her a boy. So she said to my dad, I have to baptize him, Dionysios. And they were against that because they wanted to give my father's father's name as tradition in the Greek family. Mm-hmm. So, and then my mom said, okay, but the second one, it's going to be that. So she gets pregnant to me. I'm the second child, or two. There's my older brother, Jimmy, Dimitrios. But my papu, my dad's papu's name, his real name, it's not Dimitrios, it's Dimos. But here they didn't baptize my brother in Greece. They baptized him here, and they wouldn't baptize him as Dimos, which doesn't make sense because in Greece they baptized my papu as Dimos. You know, so I still don't understand that. I'm actually like kind of upset about that because my grandfather's name on my father's side, it's a very strong name. It's a very special name. So like when I look at, I still call my brother Dimo, like between him and I. It's Jimmy in front of everybody else, but like when it's a real conversation, it's Dimo. So anyways, my mother, she's pregnant to me again. She has the same dream. And she says this time, she's like, we're going to name him that, but we're going to take him and we're going to baptize him in Zakynthos. So they did that. And my whole family went on both sides. They all went. And you know, from three, so they baptized me there when I'm 6 months, but from 3 years old to like 12, 14, every summer I would go to Zakynthos. I would go to, you know, I'd go to Greece, spend my summers in Zakynthos, and I love when I was in Ignatius trips. That's my church. Mm-hmm. That's my church. It's a very special place to me.
Yeah, I think
probably one of the most special places in the world for me.
Yeah, he's also a very special saint. I believe he's the saint of forgiveness. He, I think one time he housed a robber or someone who was a murderer.
Killed his brother.
Yeah,
killed his brother.
Yeah. So it's like he's a saint that we can learn a lot from when it comes to forgiveness and patience and humility, and it's an amazing story.
Yeah, you know, he's very, Ignatius was very special to me.
Mm-hmm.
His story is very special. You know, I pray to him every day
mm-hmm.
for strength and health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my grandmother, she's very big to praying to him. She's very big, you know, but I mean, you know, of course I pray to Jesus too, but you know, it's, Jesus and God, it's yeah. really one of the, which is one of the same, you know, but you know, I use the initials, a very special saint to me, you know, in all my worst moments, his story helped me get through them.
Well, yeah, because you took like the last 3 years off from competing, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And then you came back and you defeated.
I got hit by a car. And I've never said what I'm going to say right now publicly because it's very hard to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
But I got hit by a car and it changed me. For a long time, for the worse.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still figuring out what exactly happened there. Doctors are still figuring out what happened to me, what the accident caused.
Were you in another vehicle? And was that what happened?
No, I was outside of my car and bent over, and like lady backs up, back her car. Hits the front of my car. My car hits me, and it hit my legs, and my head hit the trunk, mm-hmm. and I went head first. And
wow.
So, the physical injuries were very bad, but there were other injuries caused that were much worse.
So that's why you took the time off till just recently. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you look good now.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank God for that. You know, it's great that you have a connection to your what we call the patron saint, right? Because a lot of us Orthodox, you know, we're named after saints, but you ask the average person, they don't know anything about their patron saint. You know, they don't, my name's Ted Theodoros. I don't know who St. Theodore is, right? And so definitely, you know, a difficult time, but St. Dionysios takes care of you, you know?
It was a very hard time.
Sure. Well, Denny, thank you for sharing that story with us. I know it's a hard story, and I know it's an emotional story for you. But you know what? All these experiences make us stronger. You know, in life, they test us, and part of the beauty of what we talk about here, at least on this podcast, is you know about Orthodox and Jiu-Jitsu. But you know, one of the main teachings of the Orthodox faith is that you know. Not all suffering is bad. A lot of suffering can build us and, you know, it breaks us down, but then it builds us up even stronger, right? This is the same thing when we train. It's the same thing when we lift. It's the same thing we do all these things, right? And so, you know, the people who have gone through the most difficult things in life, the most difficult experiences, are usually the ones who also not only are stronger in the end, but also they gain insight that other people don't have, right? You know, they gain insight from their experiences. They gain wisdom and patience and fortitude and strength. And that, I think, will translate into also your jiu-jitsu, you know.
Definitely. You know, I'll tell you this. Every difficult moment I went through, I felt like in the time I was going through it, what was hard, but as time went on, I saw how it made me stronger.
Yeah.
You know, that's why faith, man, excuse me, Father, that's why faith, it's having faith in yourself, God, or at least in something.
Yeah.
So everybody needs something to believe in, you know, and having faith is very important.
Sure.
You know, like in the difficult moments, that's what's going to get you through them.
Yeah.
And I learned this. Mm-hmm. I learned this. And it's funny because when I was a kid, you know, the main things that I learned being Greek Orthodox was love, faith, hope, and forgiveness. And it's so funny because, like, literally those are the positive emotions that have got me through the highs and the lows.
Sure.
You know?
So, well, on that note, let's talk a little bit about your jiu-jitsu journey, because that's fascinating in itself. You know, you don't get to be a three-time world champion without working hard. tell me a little bit about that. You know, like, how did you get into it? Like, how young you were? Like, how'd you start out? Like, what got you involved in the whole BJJ world?
So I started doing Taekwondo when I was 4, and then Judo when I was 6. And I did Judo, like, up until, you know, for a few years. And I really liked Judo. It was the first sport I ever did that I was good at something. All the other things I felt like I was all right or like sucked at. Judo was something that made a lot of sense to me. You know, from the beginning, the moves, they made sense. They made sense. The first grappling competition I ever had was in 1997, I believe. It was a judo tournament and I won it. And I remember being so happy. You know, I'm like, oh, this is so cool. And like, it's funny because like, even back then, I learned, you know, throws, takedowns and chokes. And it was just so natural to me. And so I ended up quitting Taekwondo because like, I didn't like it. But that, if you did Taekwondo, you could do Judo. So because I didn't want to do the Taekwondo, I didn't like the teachers. Mm-hmm. Wasn't a big fan of the whole Korean system. So then like I dropped martial arts. And then got into like a bunch of fights in school. Because it was at the time I moved from the Greek school and I went into public school. We always got into fights. But I was good up until 5th grade, I think, because of the judo. I threw a few kids and I choked one and no one really bothered me. But man, sixth grade, went into middle school. Damn, that was a completely different other experience. I was afraid to go to school every day because like kids were either trying to take my lunch money, take my jacket from me. I'm considered white to people in America, but I don't consider myself white. But I would say that the school that I went to I was one of the few white kids and I got picked on. You know, when people ask me like, what are you? I'm like, I'm Greek. I don't do that whole like colored thing.
You are I'm of Greek. Olive skin persuasion.
Exactly. I'm olive, baby.
Mediterranean.
I'm olive. Exactly. So my father had a friend that was a black belt in Japanese jiu-jitsu and karate. He was showing me some moves. I liked it. He left. Then I started looking for jiu-jitsu when like at the time there was Charles Gracie's, which is what I ended up going to. And then there was Half Gracie's, there was Carlay, and there was Caesars. I ended up going to Charles Gracie's, but I'm going to tell you something, you're going to laugh. So my, the very same building, like literally the very same, not just building, but the room, because there's a two-story building, the top floor where Charles Gracie's Jiu-Jitsu Academy was in Daly City when I first started, was my dad's Cafe Neo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yes. So, yes. Yeah, bro. So, like, I walk in, I have all these memories of the Cafe Neo, you know, the trapeze and everything.
And there's jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. And, like, you know, so I start doing jiu-jitsu. Like, I take my first lesson. I suck, but I'm hooked. Mm-hmm. I suck, but I'm hooked. I love it, you know. And
how old were you when you got, sorry.
12. I was 12 years old. And I fell in love with it. I just like fell in love. And the first few months, like I sucked really bad, but I kept going and started changing. Mm-hmm. But like jiu-jitsu completely changed me. It completely changed me. It made me so confident. It made me figure out how to learn. Mm-hmm. And it taught me so much. But like, so I started in seventh grade. By the end of seventh grade, going into my eighth grade year before I even went, I started competing. And, you know, I've been competing ever since. And February 12th of this year, it's going to be 20 years that I'm doing jiu-jitsu. Wow. And I never stopped either. I never stopped doing jiu-jitsu. I mean, I got hurt, and like there have been times I couldn't be able to physically do it, but in my mind and like studying jiu-jitsu, never stopped. Never.
When did you start? When you started at 12, like, I'm assuming, were they training you as an adult? Did you start training as an adult later? Like
adult. I was never trained as a child. I've always been trained as an adult. I actually started fighting and competing at 14 as an adult.
Wow.
I've been competing. Yeah. I've been competing as an adult since I was 14. It's funny. Cause like, you know, when I started fighting adults, I'm like, oh, I'm a man. Like if I'm beating men, I'm a man.
Yeah.
You know? And like I could tell, cause like the first tournament I ever did as an adult, my dad drove me to LA. My dad took me all the way down, and you know, because of, there were so many small kids and how it worked out, no one wanted to fight me. I don't even remember why. I don't remember why, but so they're like, do you want to do the adults division? And I'm like, yeah. And my dad's like, are you sure? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, yeah, I train with adults. I'll be fine. I'm going to win. And I ended up taking second place. But the first guy, I armbarred. I pulled guard. I hit him with the sit-up sweep. I mounted him, and I armbarred his left arm, which is so funny because my last fight, right? My last fight, I armbarred the guy on the left arm.
Yeah.
And then the second guy I fought, he was 32 years old, and like we're warming up, right? And like the guy's like next to me, and he started, like my dad just asked me, like, hey, how old are you? He's like, I think the guy said 32, and my dad was like, what's going, like he's thinking, you tell my dad's like, what's my son doing, you know? But he believed in me. You could tell. He's like damn. So I ended up winning that match too. I choked him. I took his back and I choked him. And in the finals, I started off strong, and I blew my, I blew my load too early in the fight. And like the guy ended up beating me on points. He like had me in a bunch of arm bars, but like, you know, I'm 14, mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to tap. Like at the time, and like when I was a kid, I was like,
sure.
I mean, I'm still crazy, but I was crazy then too.
When you started then, was that in the gi?
Yeah. I started training in the gi. When I was, I started taking private lessons. I started training in the gi, but even though I started training in the gi, the school that I trained at, there were a lot of wrestlers. So in the summertime, we would do no gi. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until my freshman year in high school that I did my first wrestling season. I was training jiu-jitsu, but I was wrestling. Then after that wrestling season, I went back to no gi. I started doing no gi, and I'm like, ooh, I like no gi better. It was freshman year of high school. So I'm 14 years old. I'm 14, 14, 15 years old when I figured out I like no gi better.
Because back then, no-gi wasn't as popular, right?
No gi schools in America didn't exist.
Yeah.
No one had a no gi school at the time. I mean, maybe Chris Brennan, maybe. I think Chris Brennan had a school at the time. He had Next Generation. But I mean, Eddie had not opened his school yet. Mm-hmm. No. So yeah.
Nice.
And I started wrestling my freshman year in high school.
Mm-hmm. And then you finished high school and kept moving up?
So I left Charles Gracie when I was a blue belt, but I started training with Eddie when I was
Eddie Bravo.
Eddie Bravo, yes.
Just for Eddie, they're like, which Eddie is he talking about? They don't know.
Sorry, Eddie Bravo. So I started training with my teacher when I was 14. It was actually for my 15th birthday. My brother drove me down to LA because there was a Greek dancing convention. You know FDF?
Yeah, we know FDF. I teach Greek dance, man.
Oh, I love it. I love Greek dancing. I suck, but I love it.
If Father Thomas doesn't know what that is, that's like the it's like the UFC of traditional Greek dancers.
It is. It's the UFC. Oh, I love it. Yes, it is. So Jimmy drove me down. We drove down to LA to go to FDF, and I was having my 15th birthday, and I told my mom and dad, I'm like, hey, there's this guy, Eddie Bravo. I want to take a private lesson with him. I want that to be my birthday present. So they gave me 200 because at the time it was like 200 for an hour private, and, you know, and that's when I started training with Eddie. It was orange belt. So it's a 6-hour drive. So like, and it wasn't till when I was 16 that I left Charles's, and then some things happened, and then I trained with another Brazilian guy and a bunch of political stuff happened. And then I was like, all right. And then I went with Eddie and then that summer I went to LA. I spent a bunch of time training. I got my purple belt that summer because there's already blue belt before. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was 17 when I got my purple belt.
Good for you. Nice. So you spent like the whole summer, like intensive, I guess you could say, with Eddie.
The first few weeks I was there, because after that, you know, my junior year in wrestling season, I tore my knee, I tore my meniscus in my right knee, and I ended up having the operation. I ended up having two operations to correct the issue. So I didn't get to wrestle my senior year, but like, so after that, like I had a few months of downtime. Mm-hmm.
What year did you get your black belt?
I got my black belt September 29th, 2009. I was 21 years old.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
But I won the brown belt worlds, the IBJJF no-gi worlds when I was 19. Mm-hmm. And then I won American Nationals as a brown belt when I was 20. And excuse me, I was actually 21 at the time. And then Eddie promoted me mm-hmm. to my black belt, and I became Eddie's first black belt. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a cool little journey. I'm grateful.
Yeah. And one of us, man, one of us.
Yeah, you know, totally.
A Greek Orthodox boy from San Fran, you know, Eddie Bravo's first black belt.
Hey, you know what? You know, when I fight, dude, that's why I throw the Greek flag up, you know? Yeah. I represent for my people. Yeah. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Sure. So on this journey, like, you know, kind of going through all these years, because like, how old are you now?
I'm going to be 33 next month. Oh, there you go. 32 right now.
It's going to be your Jesus year.
My Jesus
year. 33.
I this will be my strongest year.
Yeah,
good. Even with all the challenges that I had to overcome, I guarantee you after this year what I'm going to do, because so many things that are already set in motion, that are already happening in my life, you know, it's going to work out.
Good. Good. We're going to be watching. The question I had for you was, you know, during this journey, like, so you've been doing it, you've been competing 20 years. How has the Greek community in San Fran, like, have they supported you? Like, have they been like, you know, like, have you had any connections to like the greater, not necessarily just the Orthodox community, just like your Greek friends? Like, do you have support from the Greek community? Like, as kind of like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, all the Greeks that know me here, they treat me different.
Sure.
They take care of me. I go to restaurants, they give me free food, you know.
You're like their you're their local hero, man.
You know, but you know, here's the truth too. A lot of people know my father because my father is a very successful business owner in San Francisco. Very successful business owner, and he helped a lot of Greeks. Mm-hmm. My father helped a lot of Greeks in San Francisco. So people know who my father is, you know, and, you know, and then, you know, word spreads. But the truth is, I have a lot of support from the Greek community, not only in San Francisco, but the Greek community all around the world. And I have a lot of support in Greece. The Greek community, it's very strong support for me. And I love my people, dude. And my people know that I love them. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, being Greek to me, it's everything. I'm not who I am without being Greek. You know, it's.
So having said that, you know, do you see jiu-jitsu kind of branching out into the Greek community? Because I know when we started this podcast, we started it like just as myself and Father Thomas, like last April, which is, you know, right when the first lockdown started. And we're like, ah, you know, we're in a lockdown. You know, we both like jiu-jitsu. We're both Orthodox priests. Ah, let's start a little podcast. Let's see if we can find other people like us, right? And and people came out of the woodwork, you know, not just Greek Orthodox, but other, like a lot of Orthodox priests. Eh? Like, we never knew there were so many Orthodox priests who were doing jiu-jitsu, right? Which is crazy. We thought we were the only ones.
I love it.
Right? But do you see like jiu-jitsu kind of like becoming popular within the Greek community? Because like here in Canada, for example, so far, like we got a few, but not a lot of people like within the Greek community who are like into it, like hardcore, right? Like moving up. Like, do you see that in the Greek community in San Fran? Like, is it popular or are they not, are they too busy playing soccer? You know?
No. There's two Greek brothers, that I grew up with that are family friends. They're black belts.
Okay.
Jimmy and Tom Prunzos. They're both Greek. They're both Orthodox. They're black belts under Hal Gracie in San Francisco. So those are family friends of mine that I know they're black belts. Man, I know I'm this guy that I know that I met from Caesar's Academy, longtime friend, Thaddeus. He might be at least he's a brown belt by now. You know, there's a lot of, you know, I'll tell you this for sure. I see, like, I definitely see jiu-jitsu becoming bigger to the Greek community. You know, jiu-jitsu is getting big in Greece. Believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Like I, dude, there's like 30 schools, I think, in Athens, 30 jiu-jitsu academies.
Well, I know Henzo Gracie is a big one there in Athens.
Padeli school, right?
I think so. Yeah.
He's my friend. We in 2010, we did the worlds in 2010. They were the Greek and Cypriot team. They were together. That's where I met my friend Andreas from Palestra in Cyprus. Mm-hmm. I met them in 2010 at the FILA Worlds when I won.
Well,
you know, so I know him very well. We communicate.
Nice.
I know all the big academy owners in Greece. I'm friends with most of them.
Nice. Well, next you time know, down, we have to go check them out.
Oh yeah, I know. Greece has good jiu-jitsu, and like I'm working. I have some affiliates right now that I'm working on. You know, and yes. Actually, I've been teaching seminars in Greece since 2014.
Well, thank you for that wonderful. You know, recap of your journey. You know, it's fascinating to hear, you know, about your training, your personal life, Denny, all the challenges that you've gone through and kind of make it to the top of the jiu-jitsu world. And kind of wrapping up our final thoughts, as we always do in our podcast, I wanted to ask you for your final thoughts to maybe give us two of your biggest role models, maybe, you know, your biggest role model in your personal life and maybe your biggest role model in the jiu-jitsu world, the, you know, the people that kind of really affected you and inspired you, you know, along the way.
My personal life, it's my father. My jiu-jitsu life, it's Eddie Bravo. My father, he taught me how to be a man, to be my own boss. Whatever I love, I can achieve.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my jiu-jitsu instructor, Master Eddie Bravo. Yeah, he helped give me a great life. Mm-hmm. You know, my father did too, but like, you know, I learned amazing jiu-jitsu and we accomplished some amazing things, you know, became a world champion multiple times, won CBI champion. Truth is, you know, made a lot of money too, did all seminars around the world. I mean, I've been very lucky because, and I say that lucky because it is that, it's luck or good fortune. To live the life I've lived because I've been living my dream all these years. I mean, there have been times I haven't been able to do it because of how I was physically or what other reasons, but I'm very lucky. And every day, more than ever now, I remind myself of how lucky I am. I wake up and I tell myself, oh, thank God, another day I'm alive. It's another day to do what I love, to accomplish my goals, you know.
Sure.
Please, you were going to say the Greeks have a saying.
Well, I was saying the Greeks have a saying, you know, like they say, "Me opio daskolo kathisis tetia gramata thamathis," which basically translated is like, you know, with whatever teacher
you stay with, you'll learn.
That's the education you're going to get, right? Roughly translated, which basically means, you know, it's like your mentors are everything, right? It's like if you have a good teacher, you're going to get, you know, you're going to have a good upbringing. You're going to have a good education and they're going to mentor you well. And, you know, jiu-jitsu's, that's what like, we find, at least we've discussed with this about this a little bit with Father Thomas. It's like, you know, in the Orthodox faith, we have something called a spiritual father. And that's kind of like what you were mentioning, you know, your local priest, the one you connect with, right? You said it was never when he left, right? And you couldn't connect again. So having that kind of mentor is really important, and you don't see it anymore. Like, you know, in society today, people don't really emphasize how important the mentor is, you know, a person in your life that you can look up to and that they can guide you. And in jiu-jitsu too, it's like, I even see it with our instructor, Joel Gershon. You know, he's great with the adults, but when you see him with the kids, you know, all three of my kids are in jiu-jitsu as well. He's even better with the kids. It's like they become second fathers to them because, you know, discipline, and it teaches them integrity, and, you know, he gives them little tidbits of, you know, kind of like philosophy and things like that in between teaching them, right? It's not just teaching them a technique or, you know, and it's they look up to them, and it's very important to have like those kind of figures in your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think one of the best things that you could do if you want to be successful at something is find a great teacher and study with that teacher.
Yeah.
And give 100% commitment to that, you know, because I feel that I did really, that I was able to accomplish what I accomplished because I listened. Mm-hmm. I know how to listen. It's very important to know how to listen. And in the moments I didn't listen, I saw I was wrong. You know, and it's very important to listen.
Yeah, it's a very important skill to have, I think, especially nowadays when so many people want to be heard, right? As a the skill to listen and then to act upon that, I think is invaluable, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, you have to be careful who you listen to though, too, obviously. Right.
Of course.
But, yeah, you know, like I listen to my teacher, I listen to my father. And if I'm training with someone, if they tell me to do something, I'm going to listen, but I don't listen to everybody. It's only the people that, you know, because not everybody is qualified to give an opinion. Of course, everybody can have one.
Yeah.
Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but it doesn't make them qualified to speak on certain nature. Like, for example, I'm qualified to speak on jiu-jitsu, but there's other things I'm not qualified to speak about. I'm not a mechanic, so I'm not qualified to speak about that. You know, I don't have that experience. So I think something that's very important is knowing who to listen to and who not to listen to too. This is very important. I always tell people, make sure you're studying either the world championship coaches or fighters. If they're not the world championship coaches or fighters, you know, you're not sure what you're getting. I'm not saying they're bad or I'm not saying they're not good. I'm just saying you're not sure what you're getting. But if you stick to studying the best.
Yeah.
You know, Father Ted, which goes back to what you, you know, the Greek saying that you said, you know, if you're studying a teacher of that level, you're going to get, you know, learn high level knowledge, you know? So it's simple. Study the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and, but I will tell you this, you know, sometimes certain guys, they don't have the qualifications yet, but you know, they know what they're talking about.
In jiu-jitsu, you know, the wonderful thing about jiu-jitsu, and we've discussed this on other podcasts with Father Thomas, is that the beautiful thing about it is that you know who the best is because you're tried and you're tested. You know, you're thrown in to the deep end and either you swim or you sink, right? Like, and the best rise to the top. It's just, you know, it's proven, like you said, like you don't become a world champion like yourself without being able to do what you say you're going to do, right? You can't fake it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I really like about jiu-jitsu. And I think that's why like, training jiu-jitsu, it's so good because you can really find out where you are on a daily basis because you can actually spar, you know, like you always know your level. Like if today I'm better or worse, I know from how I did. And like, let's just say I'm sick, right? And I don't do as good or whatever. You know, I can tell that, or if I'm like feeling great, you know, I can tell that from how I did. And you're not the same person every day when you train, you know that. You start to realize that. And then you're like, oh, today I'm not as good as I was yesterday. Or, oh, today I'm much better than I was yesterday, you know? So.
Yeah, it's quantifiable. You can actually measure it.
Yes.
Well, on that note, Denny, I think we'll wrap it up. We can talk all night with you. It's been really enjoyable getting to know you and a little bit from your, you know, getting a little bit of your insight. We really are, I don't know, I really enjoyed it. I don't know, Father Thomas.
I definitely enjoyed it. I think our listeners are going to see a different side of you, that's a really approachable side. And I think there's a lot to take away from our conversation today.
Yeah, we're really grateful because I know you're busy and I know you got your stuff going on and, you know, we just reached out to you. You don't know us. And it was really a wonderful thing to kind of take a chance on us too. Cause you know, you didn't have to come on a little podcast. So we're really honored to have you. And we hope to have you again in the future.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I came on to the podcast cause you guys are Greek and Orthodox and you do jiu-jitsu. It's those three things. So there's other people. I'm not going to lie. There's other people lately that have hit me up and like, hey, I want to interview you. And I'm like, and I haven't responded. You know, I haven't, I'm just being brutally honest, but I was very interested, you know, because of what you guys are doing. I'm like, oh, this is cool. I want to talk to my people. I want to talk to my audience. I want to talk to Greeks and I want to talk to Orthodox and people that do jiu-jitsu. This is something important to me. Very important.
We love to have you and we'll definitely have you on again.
I would love to. It was just as much, it was my pleasure too.
When all this craziness dies down, maybe we'll come out there, or you'll come this way and we'll get to roll together.
Yeah, totally. You know, I know there's a big Greek community in Toronto. I would love to come. Truth is, I would love to come to Toronto. I really would. I would love to come, you know, even sure, like even 3 or 4 days, whatever, see it, you know, because it's not, realistically, it's not that far from me. It's only a 6-hour flight.
Sure.
You know, so I would love to come to Toronto at some point, for sure, for sure.
Well, we'll look forward to that day when we can actually move around a little more. But until then,
all of us.
Yeah, man. Take care. Be safe. Again, we thank you.
Thank you, both fathers. Peace and love all around the world.
You have been listening to the Fighting Priests, an independent podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul. God bless.